57 years, though.
I believe so.
Ready?
Yep.
8:45 on the clock. Let's call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors regular meeting Wednesday, February 19th. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation. Perkins Hill, Dorn, Bauman, Lytle, Byer, Setzer. Next on the agenda is the consent agenda, and the consent agenda consists of the general agenda. Approval of minutes of the meeting held February 5th, 2014. Approve all claims through February 19, 2014 in the amount of $381,540.64. Approve and place on file all correspondence received. Approve register of deeds report of fees for the month of January 2014. Approve county liability report as of January 31st, 2014. Approve utility permit 984 for Highland Cemetery Association to bore an electric line located between sections 27 and 28, Township 6 North, Range 8 East, Adams Township. Those are the consent agenda items. Need a motion to approve or disapprove or consider something separately.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. I will bring up, I just want to talk about some correspondence. And probably Building and Grounds may talk about the 7th Street, what the city was talking about, changing direction. Tobias just sent us a formal thing on that. And then from Crete, the city of Crete sent us a letter about their airport that their municipal airport comes into their zoning comes into Gage County. And so they have a board that we need to seat or appoint, rather, two people from Gage County, from our political subdivision. So my thoughts were, see if there's somebody from planning and zoning, run this by Lisa Wiegan, and see if they want to bring us two people, then we can appoint them, or somebody from our airport authority. So we've got this letter last week of January, and they've got a resolution in here, so they need us to take action on that. So I'll kind of pass that around. You can look at that today. Did anybody get a copy of that?
Send us an email out.
Okay. So I'll contact Lisa and see what she thinks. And then I will go to our local airport authority, and then we have to appoint them, and if they could give us a couple people. But I'll start with planning and zoning. Is that acceptable? That's all I had for correspondence. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Vote 7-0 to approve. Next on the regular agenda, and this is where we ask for comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. And at any time, as we're discussing anything, if anyone has a desire to come up and speak on a topic, we'll gladly have you step forward and talk. We'll jump right into committee reports, building and grounds, winter lights.
Well, we have the city of Beatrice has communicated with Building and Grounds. They want to have a meeting with the Building and Grounds Committee to discuss what will be the effect in parking on the east side of the courthouse if they go to two-way street, take away the one-way street. And haven't had any discussion with us yet, but have asked to have a meeting with Building and Grounds. So we'll communicate with Tobias Templemeyer and find a time where we can sit down and talk about what effect that will have on parking here at the courthouse. And obviously, if it's made two-way, we're going to have to adjust our parking, turn it around the opposite direction from where it is now. And what's the cost going to be, and who's going to pay for it? And so we need to have some conversations about that.
Denny, the other day we was at a meeting with Tobias, and we told him we'd let him change that if we could get a roundabout over here on the corner. So.
No.
No.
kind of go around about that.
Yeah. He said he'd look into that. He wasn't sure about that.
Everything else as far as building grounds right now, Gary will get into some things on law enforcement, but with the sheriff's office that we'll be working with them on in the future, but that's down the road.
Equalization?
Nothing new.
Finance and insurance?
Finance, not really. Don just talked to me. We're going to have a short meeting here about with our finance and insurance about some issues that have come up for insurance part of this here and stuff we need to deal with. So, and we are, I know I haven't heard a time back. We're trying to set a meeting up with Amber so that we can start visiting about some of the effect that this Obamacare going to be having on the county or whatever and stuff. And I know reading a short article in the paper the other day again, now they've backed some of the things up if you're a certain group of employees, and that was less than 100. You know, someone to read it's less than 100. Well, that's maybe doesn't apply to us either again. But there's, I mean, it's changing. It's not changing a lot, but it's changing when some of these go into effect for some of them. It's still, you know, it's something that for 2015, my last understanding, and Amber's going to be meeting with us, like I said, to make sure that we're aware of everything that we're going to need to meet for next year. So.
No. Human Resource, Employee Relations.
Okay, I talked to John and Denny this morning. We are getting together this next week on the handbook, go over it so we can present it to the full board and get a recommendation to approve it.
Law enforcement.
In our meeting Friday, we, in light of some previous discussions, I discussed with the guys about getting the floor plans put together for the jail and the sheriff's office over there, and I think this next meeting we're going to sit down and start to look at that floor plan and see if it's a possibility to go ahead and refurbish and possibly create a new facility out of that, just to see if the feasibility is actually there and the longevity, to see if it would be something that would be worthwhile to put out for the public to discuss and see if that's something that we want to look at doing to cover our future needs as far as a jail facility, and to try and stay ahead of the fact that we are probably, you know, on the short end of beds, and if at some point in the future some of these counties that are willing to take our extra prisoners at this point, if they would become full and not be able to handle our overflow, then we're going to have something. I mean, I think it's just something we need to make sure we keep on top of. Might not be something we need to do today or tomorrow, but we do need to stay on top of it, I think. So I think this is a starting point. We'll just take a look at it.
I'll make a quick comment on last night. Looked at the website again. For our population over here, we had 23 and we had 6 in other facilities. So that's 29, which is above, you know, Gus, anything he wants to maintain 26 or below just because of our capacity or whatever. And I think a lot of you are aware of our increased cost of housing prisoners and how that's gone up. And we talked about that don't seem to be, it seems to be trending up, the inmate population, not down. And that's something that's, that cost is staring us in the future too all the time. And there's an article there's an article in Lincoln Paper there on Saturday too about Seward County, and they're dealing with some of these same issues. And one of the comments in there that struck me was it's so hard to budget for housing outside prisoners because you can't get a good handle on it. You don't know whether it's going to be so many dollars or you're going to have a lot of them and a lot higher. But I will say our trend in this county is tending to be a trending up of more inmate population, and how do we go about handling that? So,
okay. Anything with emergency management, or we can jump right into communications?
Communications is going to be the big thing again, yeah.
Good morning. We held a meeting yesterday. Mike Jeffries was down with the at the 911 center, and we went through some operational type and training type needs that we feel. They actually reviewed a recent call that took place here in Beatrice with the State Patrol, and the Beatrice PD wasn't able to communicate. The 2 days after that, they had got the piece of the puzzle that put it together so they can do patching. So they're currently testing the patching process with the PD's system and the statewide radio system, so they're working on that. We've also planned a trip for next Tuesday for myself, Chief Deputy Klaus, Mike Oliver, and Chief Dakey, and I believe Drew from the Homestead are going to drive out to North Platte for the day and meet with the two sergeants that are in charge of their training and the operations of their statewide system. And so we're going to go out there early in the morning, come back that evening, and just spend a couple hours with them and go over their what their thoughts and processes are. And they're actually kind of in the same position we are in. Chief Lang has made the decision to go ahead and make this a migration process. And so we'll take a look at what we'd like to, our goal is to, if it's approved, to move the sheriff's office onto the statewide system in emergency management. Then the next step would be is to get the new police department console system moved over to the statewide radio system, compatible to that system. And then the third step would be move the police department, fire department over to the Beatrice Fire only to the statewide system. So that's kind of the goal that Chief Lang wants to, what we agreed with Chief Lang. So that's what we're looking at doing now. So as long as the NT's approve that, and then but the biggest thing is that we want to drive out and take a look at that. And right now it'd be the same type of setup we'd have. Lincoln County's sheriff's department's on the statewide radio system. The police department stayed on their old system for right now. And as soon as they get the next round of money to budget for their console, then they'll upgrade their console, then they're going to move the police department over to the system. So, Chief Lang, and he's talked to the city and Temple, Tobias, and seems like that's the process we want to move forward with. So, then I was asked for, did you get the list? I emailed out a list of the communication sites. So, everywhere where there's pretty much tells you that the sites that we won't have any longer with that. So,
yeah, and just for the public's knowledge, would you kind of go into, I know we've discussed it before in open meeting, Mark, but why don't you just state or just talk about how many we have now, how many would be going away? And
basically, we have 16 different sites and communications equipment, and then we also have the portable, the trailer, we count as a 17th site, but it's mobile. But there is 16 sites throughout the county that has communications equipment that I manage right now, and that's not including the 25 warning siren sites. So above these 16 sites, there's also 25 communication sites, because each warning siren also has a communication system in it. It's built on a repeater system, because our warning sirens all operate by radio systems. So we have all those also. But these sites here are the main communication sites, the repeater systems, the different stations that we have, the voting sites. Out of these sites, there's five sites that would actually change parts and pieces to. Some of them we would eliminate altogether, like Cortland, Claytonia, Barnston, the Homestead. We would eliminate altogether those sites. And some of the sites would have less equipment. Blue Springs site would have the statewide system on it, and then another additional site here in Beatrice. But once we purchase them, then part of the system would be managed by the state. So we would not have to manage that system. Although we'd still have equipment and the tower is still ours in Blue Springs to maintain, they would take care of that, the main part of that system at that tower. So we still have a paging system there and the south fire channels there. So, and then of course our goal is we're looking at, trying to move equipment off of the Adams Water Tower onto a tower that we purchased and moved up. We're in the process of doing the soil testing now for them. For the tower up there next to the county shops in Adams. That would take our equipment off the water tower there that we have hanging upside down and every which way we can to try to get it to work. So right now the 16 main sites is what we have. So we drop it down to 12 sites that we'd have. And some sites would have less equipment on them. Another five sites would have less equipment than they have now. So that's what we take care of now, is these 16 sites, our portable system that's in the trailer, and then the 25 warning sirens.
You bring up another good point, Mark. The warning sirens, is there any effect that the going on to this system would have on those sites?
No, at the current time, they don't do any paging off of the statewide system, although that's something we can look into as we move into the new console, that we'd be able to use that system for a lot of the paging. And that, then again, that would eliminate some of these sites if we was able to do that. So. The one piece that we would do, if the sheriff's office currently went on to the statewide radio system, the police department would have about a $10,000 piece of equipment. Well, it's about $5,700 with installation, everything. It's about a $10,000 cost to the city right now. When they went to the new console, that would be obsolete down there, but what we'd do is move that up here to the courthouse then and make that add it to the backup 911 center here at the courthouse that we have, because we have a full redundant system here at the courthouse if the 911 center ever went down. So that would not be a waste of money. It would be just that piece would come over here instead of, you know, just having it to the side or whatever. So that would be our finish up the backup 911 center here. So on the state system. Temporarily, we'd have a radio here, just a radio and a power supply. So I think we'll learn a lot when we go to North Platte. I think that's going to help us a lot. Talk to actually physically the people. Then the state would be the Lincoln County Sheriff's Department is who we'd be working with that day. Hopefully we can see how it works and such. So
we'll keep you on the agenda every 2 weeks.
Okay. We'll be here.
Good information.
So.
Right.
I also have a real quick. I have a contract that GIS Workshop has drawn up, and I pass that on to Roger for his review for the 911 addressing and that part of the system that we're looking at. So that has been brought up to Roger, and I met yesterday, and he's going to review that. And then after he gets done review, we'll bring it up to the committee and bring it back to the board for that. So
thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Next on the agenda is our Veteran Honors Program. I'll call forward our Veteran Service Officer, Phil Dittbrenner. Morning.
Good morning. It's my extreme pleasure and honor at this time to introduce George Lampe as our veteran for this month. George didn't waste any time. He enlisted in the United States Navy 4 days after Pearl Harbor was bombed. And he didn't finish his service until the end of the war. Medals include the World War II Victory Medal, the American Area Campaign Medal, the Asiatic Pacific Campaign Medal with 10 stars, Philippine Liberation Medal with 2 stars, Good Conduct Medal, and a Navy Unit Commendation Medal times 2. I'll let George tell you a little bit about his history and the ship he was on during World War II at this time.
Well, he kind of took care of all of it, more or less. But like he said, I served 4 years in the South Pacific. Got home once for 6 days in 4 years. And I was with Admiral Halsey most of the time. And we had the honor of being the most active ship in our category in the Navy. That's about it. We were there and done it and got home. That's most of us did, anyhow.
Mr. Lampe, when I talked to you at the Kensington one night, you were telling me how your ship was the first one into... Was it Tokyo Harbor?
We led the fleet into Tokyo to sign the peace treaty. They give us that honor for, I guess, what we'd done. And they wrote a book about us. We got a book. I've got one. And it's called The Lucky 13. That was our number.
And what was your ship?
It was a destroyer, high-speed minesweep. An old four-stacker, they called them. Yeah.
And its name was... You told me what its name was. I forgot.
Hopkins. USS Hopkins. DMS 13. Lucky 13. Yeah. But... without, you know, war is nothing to talk about, really. But the real simple thing about it is, we've all said this, it's a hell, and we hope we don't have to do it again, anybody. And there's people above us that sometimes don't think so. but that's about it.
Thank you for your service, Mr. Lampe. It's always a pleasure to meet.
Beg your pardon?
I said I appreciate your service. It's always a pleasure and an honor to meet you.
Thank you.
As you come before us and
thank
the contributions
you.
You've made to your country and locally to the communities when you come back. Just mm-hmm. absolutely appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr.
George, thank you for all you've done for our community since that war, and you have. You've been here consistently, and you've been very active, and thank you very much.
Yeah. I enjoy that, too.
George, on behalf of the county, we'd like to present you with this certificate and our token appreciation for your service to the county.
Okay, thank you very much.
And country.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, George is always kind of quiet when he starts talking about this, but I don't think I've ever seen anyone in my years at the Veterans Service Office that have 10 battle stars on their Asiatic Pacific Medal. That's the highest I've ever seen. So, and him and his family, the Lampies, have always served. And
all of them, yeah.
And when they got done serving their country, they came home and served the community. So I want to thank you for that also.
You bet. I've always said that there's 7 of us boys. And all 7 of them, and I've thought a lot of times, or we've talked about it, about my mother, with all that going on, you know. And she was, I have to say that she was very, very proud, and she showed it.
Okay. Well, we're proud too, George.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Seldom as they talk about it. They just But we remember up there, big family. He ended up going Korean War.
Mr. Jurgens, whenever you're ready, go ahead.
His brothers already in the service. They did well 7 at one time.
Well, they even cut that back after that in World War II.
Oh, really? That, I didn't know that. I limited it.
Okay, Matt, during the Road and Bridge meeting we held Friday, quite a few of the items we discussed are coming up later on the agenda. but I'll briefly go through them. Resolutions coming up, agreement on the Philly Bridge project to increase the cost by $5,435.46. Agreement with Top Coat for the additional armor coating miles of 28.5 miles. of course, today we'll open the bids on those four culvert. You know, had discussion on the public hearing on the 1 and 6, which is coming up shortly. It's been thought that the armor coating will probably start sometime in May. The armor coating project annual township association meeting will be held on February 27th at 7 o'clock at the extension office. Everybody's welcome to attend. On our township fall applications, we've completed 10 out of the 24. So we have 14 left to go, which after we get our bids this spring, I've been in contact with the pits in that location, and I'll bring some more information after the bids are in at the next meeting. Discussion on signs, too, also that's coming up. In the past, the townships have been responsible for some of the signs going way back. But in recent history, the county has maintained the sign, the cost of signs throughout the county. The discussion was that we will leave that the same. This is something like been mandated to us to put these new signs up. We hate to have to pass that down to the township. It'll be a burden for them also to pay for. So the discussion was we'll leave it the same as we've done in the recent times. The county will be responsible for the signs throughout the whole county, township included. So basically, other than the big items coming up that I haven't discussed yet, that's about it. But you guys have anything else to add?
Questions for Supervisor Juergens? All right, just a couple of minutes here. Let's.
I'd like to make a quick comment.
I bet you.
I don't know who in the clerk's office. I write some of these notes. Mine aren't near this good. Somebody's helping us out here. I'll tell you that. I mean, I put down some notes and some comments, but I didn't put it down 1 through 7 there at the top. And I thank you. I thank you for that. Whoever's doing that, I appreciate that very much. That looks nice.
Let's see here. Let's go through. Lisa Cervini, just give us an update on the Million March Against Child Abuse. This will be April 5th. It's on a Saturday. They've done this last year. It sent us correspondence, and we just asked if they'd come
Thank
through.
You.
Just kind of give us an update.
Yeah, we're really excited. We're going to have our second annual on April 5th. That's a Saturday this year, so we're hoping to have some more community involvement. It rained on us last year. We still had quite a few people that showed up, so we're hoping for good weather. We're in the process of talking with the Beatrice Police Department about getting a meet and greet scheduled, so hopefully we can have some of the police officers come and meet with some of the kids and just kind of give them a familiarity about that. It's from 10 to 3 this year, so we're kind of cutting a little bit the hours on it a little bit so more people can come. That's about it. We plan on doing the same thing as we did last year, so.
Okay. Any questions? I mean, it's a public space, but just the Saturday when the building's closed, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should be okay. We have the Masonic Temple again. I guess it's now St. Joe's, but we've talked with them about using that for facilities, and we're kind of going to stage everything over there like we did last year. So,
excellent. Okay. Very good. Well, thank you for coming. Appreciate it. It's always good and good cause and
thank
good luck.
Thank you for having us.
A lot of people show up support.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. It's 9:14 on this clock, so I'm just waiting for one more minute to tick.
flipping over.
Oh, putting stuff in front of me to sign.
No, this is the sign here.
9:15 on the clock. I need a motion to, let's see, close all bids for culvert projects.
Yes. Culvert projects, C-34, and they're included into four different numbers, 1031, 1032, 1036, and 1037.
Oh, this is just accepting the bids. I'm sorry.
Oh, this one is a culvert. This is a culvert. This is a new one.
Oh, that was, okay.
The signs are the ones.
Okay, so I need a motion to close all bids.
Second.
Who made the motion? Juergens?
Yeah. I make a motion to close all bids.
Vote. Second by Dorn. 7-0. Okay, go ahead.
These are we've talked about these for a number of meetings now. These are the project, are the replacements that are going to be, put in on the, one of them, the Liberty Northwest, two of them on the Liberty Northwest Road, one Wymore Southeast is called, and one on the Odell Northwest, which is on the PWF West, and the rest of the other three are on the Wymore to Liberty Road where the overlays are going to take place, so.
And these will be replacing all small bridges.
Right.
And we're going to replace them with culverts to help when the road gets overlaid. Whether it's going to be wider or not, it'll look wider. We won't have the quite so narrow on there.
Bits.
On these, they're bid individually, but I'll give you the total price for the four culverts. The first one is from Ace Eaton Metals for a total project price of $132,921.24.
Could you repeat that one time, Terry?
Yes. $132,921.24.
Thank you.
The second one is from Midwest Service and Sales Company. Total for the project, $128,429.56. Third one is from Contech Engineering, Engineered Solutions, LLC. A total price of $131,900 even.
Three bids, that's it?
That's it.
Okay.
Matt, what I'd like to do, as we've done in the past, is to have the Highway Department review these bids and come back with a, can we have it done today, come back with a, agreement, whatever you think would be the best way to go. Come back with a recommendation. Okay.
We'll take no action at this point. We'll just refer those to Galen and Mr. Wagner there. All right. Mr. Merrill, Region 5 Services. Do you want to do them together? Or? This is their annual report.
Thank you.
Well, good morning. I'm C.J. Johnson. I'm the Regional Administrator with Region 5 Systems. Dave and I always travel together just because there's such a difference between the two organizations. We like to give you that perspective. In the annual report, actually, if you open up the first page, you'll see a really handsome guy next to Dennis Byers in there. And I just want to say I really appreciate Dennis for being the chair of our board, but I also appreciate, quite honestly, his past legislative experience. Region 5 Systems, we have to do a lot of work at the legislature. And his knowledge and involvement has always been helpful to get the best that we can get out of there. And speaking of the legislature, this last year, because of the Affordable Care Act and also the Medicaid expansion that did not happen in Nebraska, our legislators felt that there would probably be some cost savings in the public behavioral health system. And so during the course of negotiations last year, pulled out $15 million out of the allocations to the regional behavioral health authorities beginning this July 1st. Now, $10 million of that was actually set aside so that it would become available to us if we need be. But $5 million is basically gone out of our budget starting this next year, July 1st. We still have a fight with the governor at this point because the governor saw fit to take the $10 million in his budget proposal and use it towards Medicaid expansion costs, which, again, we haven't seen, and we doubt we will see that. But what that really means in Region 5, if that entire $15 million, that's $3.65 million of services that we're going to have to go in and take a look at and try and decide where do we make those cuts. That's significant. If it's only the $5 million, and I say only, that's a little over $1 million. We're going to have to go in and look at what services are we going to cut in our region. Because we focus on behavioral health services and contract with 13 agencies, this may have a significant impact for some of those agencies as well if we aren't able to contract with them for the amounts we have in the past. It also means that there's a number of people that will not be receiving behavioral health services. So I just wanted to share that with you. Again, we've been working with senators for months now trying to get those dollars reinstated. So with that said, if you go to page 10, I just want to talk a little bit about the emergency system. I will do my best to assure you that when we do make those cuts, should we have to, this will be one area that we'll try and keep in place. We feel the emergency system, protective custody system, is very important. It can be very costly if a lot of people end up in hospitals, as you all know. We've worked very hard over the last number of years to ensure that we did not have a lot of overflow into Bryan Hospital. You'll see that our admissions up in the upper left-hand corner have continued to go down year after year after year. A lot of this has to do with your law enforcement utilizing our crisis response teams. When we have somebody having an acute mental health crisis, they simply call an 800 number, and we send out support to them in the way of therapists and other professionals to try and look for an alternative rather than take them to the crisis center in Lincoln and or a hospital if need be. You'll also see in the bottom right-hand corner that we have significantly reduced our repeat admissions. We found out a number of years ago that a lot of our repeat admissions were individuals that were 19 to 25 years old. These were young people trying to transition from the children's system and getting services there into the adult system. Because we saw this, we started a program called TAP, which is Transition Age Professional Partner, to specifically work with those individuals that end up in our crisis center at that age. We work with them to hook them into those adult services, try and get them stable housing, try and help them get employment so that, as we say in our field, they can set aside the rubber ducky of behavioral health problems that they maybe have and get on with normal life activities. And again, we've had significant impact on that area. If you go quickly to page 12, just want to remind you, we do have a rental assistance program. I've said this in a number of years. If you ever have somebody applying for general assistance, I always recommend that you have them call John Turner at our office. He works with our rental assistance program, but he also has had significant experience over the years working for a variety of things. And what I can tell you, if those individuals applying for GA come back to you after trying to work with John and say he wasn't able to help, you can be assured there wasn't some other alternative out there. And I think that's a good support for especially the rural counties. And finally, if you'll go to page 16, just want to share with you, in 1995, we started our professional partner program statewide. Over the years, because of the good work that they've been doing, we've been approached by a number of entities to begin to work with them to provide this wraparound support to families who have children with serious emotional disturbances. This includes, in the last year, we've had child welfare approach us. They're trying to take some of their federal dollars that have been very narrow over the last number of years, and try and get a waiver from the federal government to expand the use of those federal dollars. Should they get that waiver, and that will depend also on the passing of LB 503 by Senator Koash, but if they get that, they are going to begin to use those services to support behavioral health services for youth and families. The CFS track has been about a year with them. They're experimenting with us. And part of the reason is, if you think back over the years with the safe haven law, some of those kind of things, and privatization of child welfare, there's been some challenges with child welfare trying to shift to reduce state wardship. So we've been working with them on how to do contracting, how to help build capacity and services, and to show them how to work with providers, because even though we primarily contract out for services, we also provide the professional partner program and have had a number of years of experience running a service program. So with that, the very last page, I will share with you that the legislature, despite taking $15 million, also approved a 2.25% increase in behavioral health services. If you look down the page, you'll see that for Gage County, that would be a $757 increase to $34,411, and under substance abuse, it would be a $136 increase to $6,190. And with that, I will answer any questions you might have before Dave comes up.
I just want to commend CJ and his entire staff for the incredible job they do in managing the dollars, both state, federal, everything that is given to them from the counties they represent, in supervising programs and making aware. And working with the legislature, I don't think it takes very long, but pick up any paper you'd like, and you see in a report of whatever crime has been committed or someone who unfortunately has done some horrible things, we find there are mental health issues involved. And I don't think it takes long, but you see that Jenkins, I think is his name, and every time I see him on TV, that they released him from prison without giving him appropriate services, and he went out and killed people. And I think it's so important that we get into the families, because so often we're treating an individual, but we don't go back into the family where many of these problems have started to begin with. So I just want to commend you, CJ, and all of your staff. You do a wonderful job, and thank you.
I'll pass that along. And, Don, you probably want to go have supper with Linda sometime, don't you?
We've been communicating a lot, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Quick question. Are you getting the 800 number? Is it being used by our local law enforcement more, or can we use it more?
The Gage County is one of our highest users of that 800 number, and so is like Odo County also, and then Seward County. And just recently we had, and I don't know if there's any Gage County law enforcement, but 2 weeks ago we just finished a week-long training, which we do annually for all law enforcement in our region, on how to specifically work with individuals who may be having some kind of mental health crisis. We've even had FBI at this training and everything. So this last time we had our largest number, we had 70 law enforcement officers attend that week-long training. So, yep.
I have to jump into a timed event at 9:30. So I have a timed event at 9:30, and it's right at 9:30. So I had to jump right into that. I'm sorry. Need a motion to go into a public hearing for the purpose of hearing support, opposition, and criticism, and suggestions or observations related to the Gage County 1- and 6-year proposed highway improvement plan. Need a motion to go to a public hearing.
I make a motion to go into public hearing.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, seconded by Hill. Vote 7-0, we're in a public hearing. If there's anyone here to speak for or against, criticism, observations, ideas about 1 and 6. I guess we'll, nobody speaking for or against. Jeff, do you want to talk a little about 1 and 6? Terry? Galen? Deborah? One more, we'd have a quartet. Sing, Galen.
I didn't step up.
Okay, I guess first of all, is there any questions on 1 and 6 that we presented last time at all? I'll just give you just a brief override of the 1 and 6, and if you have any questions, you can ask. Last year, for the 2012-2013 plan, we completed 7 of our projects on that plan. That does not include any of our maintenance projects that we've done. We carried over from last year's plan 27 total projects from last year to this year's plan. We also, for this year, we added 16 new projects to our one-year plan. And on our six-year plan, we added 6 new projects to our six-year plan. And we also removed 7 total projects from the 6-year plan. And we moved 4 projects from our 1-year plan to our 6-year plan. And our total projects on our 6-year plan are 12 total projects. That's just a quick oversight of the projects.
Do you have one of the map that will show what all those projects
in last meeting, Mark Minnelli was here and he talked about the process. They go through very objective about going through it based on needs, not on who can twist Galen's arm the most to get it on and so I think that's a better process. It's more objective. It's fairer, if you will. So I think we've been able to get a lot of projects done. I think one of the things that Galen's concerned about, and I think Mark voiced that too, and I think Terry has talked about it, is the volume of projects to be done. And how busy we will keep our personnel. And so there's been some discussion about, you know, how we utilize them and any potential part-time additions or things like that. So they're going to be busy doing these projects, which is good. They do good work, and we're paying them. Let's put them to work. So, Terry, if you want to speak to any of that. Or
I agree. Probably looking at this overall picture, there's been some projects delayed, some projects moved ahead. I think that's normal way the system works. Some things are a little more important at times, and other things aren't as quite as important. There has been Manelli Wagner has done studies on all these roads, traffic counts, have cored. We've got our final. Everybody should have the final core samples of the final roads projects in the county. And that gives us a roadmap of where we've been and where we have to go as far as repairs, what's the most important, what's the least most important. And Galen has reviewed, we've discussed it before, has reviewed bridges in the area. That's, like I said, that's his thing. And so he's put them on a list of most important criteria to the least. So that's all in this booklet. I mean, it's kind of, There's a lot of information in there. It's kind of hard to get through, but there's a lot of work to be done this year, and hopefully, weather permitting, we'll accomplish a lot of work in Gage County, and the whole county will see, you know, the benefits of it.
Well, and I'll say, too, last year at our township meeting, or shortly thereafter, we asked all the townships to give us a listing of their main one or main one or two or three. Some of them turned in three or four projects in their township. Galen went out and reviewed all of those, looked at every one of those, and some of those have been added on here. Some have already been on. Some of those, Galen's made the valuation and with Minnelli and stuff that they're adequate or whatever. So, I mean, that contributed some to this 1 and 6 year plan this year from the townships. We've gotten feedback before from them, but never specifically asked each of the townships to turn in their projects, what they feel were most critical. So that's part of this plan this year.
Any further discussion or questions regarding 1 and 6 for these three folks? Nope. All right. Thank you very much. Seeing nobody else in attendance who wants to speak for and or against or has any other ideas, I need a motion to close our public hearing regarding the 1 and 6.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Vote 7-0. Next, I need a motion to approve or disapprove a resolution number 14-04 on the Gage County 1 and 6 proposed highway improvement plan.
I make a motion to approve.
Moved by Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Any further discussion? Vote 7-0. All right. Thank you for your patience.
You guys are efficient. Still not done. I want to echo what CJ said about Dennis Byers, but also add that in my world of developmental disabilities, not behavioral health, but developmental disabilities, we have a mutual friend, Courtney, that we support that always wants me to tell you hi. And I want you to know that she's doing a presentation for about 500 people we support and staff, and she lists knowing Senator Dennis Byers as one of the achievements of her life that's made a difference.
Oh.
So,
thank you.
You touch people. So I'm going to do the general overview for Region 5 services, and I'm going to use my director's report that Dennis gets every month and reads religiously. And I know he does because he corrects me if he sees something wrong. So in any case, I wanted to talk first about this idea of employment first. Because as I speak to the county boards this year, if you know of jobs or you run across a job that you think a person with a disability might be able to do, that's one of our focuses, and we need your help to make those connections. Dennis, you may remember Bill Wrigley from over in Jefferson County. We're still doing a contract that he set up 30 years ago for Spidel and all of that. So a connection, he ran into somebody that wanted had a product that they wanted to produce. He hooked them up with us, and we're still doing that contract after 30 years. So wanted to emphasize that. And then in my director's report, if you turn to the profile sheet, you'll be able to see all the places that Region 5 is serving people. And then you see Cree Beatrice as a part of that. The total number of day services we provide residential and the total served unduplicated, just over 900 folks that we support. There's over 40 certified providers of our services, and over 900 people choose our services. And so we're happy about that. We also, I wanted to point out that in terms of critical indicators, we've started to keep track of how many people own their own cars, because for developmental disabilities, kids who were largely in special ed, I don't think car ownership and driving was always part of the vision that people had, but there's a number of people that we support that are able to own their own cars and drive themselves to work. We keep track of the number of people who own their own homes, 22 in Region 5. Across the whole state, there's only 42 people who own their own homes. So we keep track of these things as critical indicators of whether we're being effective. We have our budget there for 2013-14. The way it works in our field is the more people we support, the more money. We only get paid if we support people. So it's not a block grant. It's not figuring that stuff out. We get paid for the services we deliver. We get paid the same as the not-for-profits. We get paid the same as the for-profits that are doing this the same work. Everybody gets paid the same. And then the number of staff, full-time, part-time, and full-time equivalent. And I don't want to steal any of Joanne's thunders because we've had some exciting things happening in Beatrice, but I also wanted you to know that we're not going to ask for any increase in county funding. It's $39,714, the same as it's been for the last 19 years, and I'll bet money you don't have another budget item that has remained the same for 19 years. So unless you have questions for me, I'll turn it over to Joanne now. She'll tell you about some changes here.
Thank you, Dave. And Dave and I go back over that 19 years, or we've been working together when he was over in Fairbury, and we've had a long, long relationship. And I want to commend you also for everything you've done for so long. We appreciate it.
This is my 31st presentation to the Gage County Commission Board of Supervisors. 31st.
I am Joanne Nolting, the director for both the Gage and Saline County area of Region 5 services. And your name?
Brownie French.
And we come today to share with you information about our services here in Beatrice. We have been providing supports here for over 38 years in the Gage County area, and we are currently providing the services of vocational, residential, medical, and transportation services. We have those four different divisions, and in the handout I gave you, I have given you a little information about each component. I'd like to share with you some current updates, and that is with our Beatrice program, we have moved our day support services from Industrial Park to the strip mall right next to Ace Hardware. The building that we were in, we had been in almost a decade, and the building was sold to the biodiesel plant behind us, and so we had 60 days to find a new location. That was an exciting time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
We weren't sure where we were going to go. But we did find a location, and in 2 months, we moved in January 28th, shortly after the fire marshal approved it, the occupancy, and it is serving us very well. We're very happy in our new location. At this particular site, we're currently supporting 20 individuals, and I have identified for you in this handout some of the different skills that we work on at the Day Service Supports Program. But one of the things we'd like to share with you, and Ron can chip in here, is where do you work in the community?
I work part-time at Rural Lawns here in Beatrice. Mm-hmm.
And you've been there about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And so it's one of the community work sites that we're at. And that is something that we really appreciate, is having the employment in the community. And just to mirror what Dave said, any opportunities we're welcome to listen to. At one time, we were able to provide the meals at the jail, and we'd always be happy to put a bid in again if the opportunity becomes available. Residentially, we serve 28 individuals in a variety of different settings. We have 5 settings here in the Beatrice area, which are 24 hours supervised. We serve 16 people within these 24-hour support settings. And I have listed out on here the different addresses for the settings. And Ron, you receive supports in one of those settings. Tell me what you do residentially.
I go fishing.
Well.
Out to Rockford Lake.
Mm-hmm. You enjoy that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what's another thing you like to do?
And I like to take my metal detector out, look for money.
And tell them about what you found at the park.
I found enough money to buy me a cup of coffee.
So it was a good find that day. Okay. And we also have seven extended family home settings in the Gage County area where we are serving eight people, and two of the people are children. And again, I've listed out some of the different skills that we teach within our residential training setting. The next page is our medical services, and we provide medical support to the majority of people we serve, and I've outlined some of the different supports that we provide. Transportation to help individuals get to their doctors, annual physicals, dentals, vision exams, and obtaining prescriptions at the pharmacy, and other things that would be included within our medical supports. We also provide transportation services, and we have applied for a grant through the Department of Roads for a minivan, wheelchair-accessible minivan, and we're hoping to hear from them in the next few weeks as to whether this has been approved or not. And I also like to share with you all the different business affiliations we have. So I've kind of listed out all the businesses we work with here in the Beatrice community. The highlights is probably my favorite part of the report because it's kind of what's new and different this year. Presently, we have 53 employees working for us in the Gage County area, full-time, part-time, and relief staff. We have recently transitioned a number of people from BSDC into our services. Along with this comes the Department of Justice, who does periodic visits with us, and everything seems to be going well so far. Unfortunately, we had a gentleman pass away due to a heart condition recently, and so with his passing, we're looking at providing supports to a gentleman from BSDC who is also interested in our services, and we are hoping to be able to provide him supports by the spring. We continue to employ a part-time licensed practical nurse here in Beatrice, and she works under the direction of our registered nurse who is out of our central office. One lady we support does volunteer work with other volunteers for the Warren Dinner, which I'm sure you folks are familiar with, and she helps serve the set up and serve the meal for the people in need in the local community. I'd also like to share with you that Marsha Baker was able to raise funds for the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation in September. She raised over $100, and she also participated in the Diabetes Walk, which took place at Holmes Lake in Lincoln. And if you look at our annual page report, which was attached, she's with this group here at the very top, and very proud of her contribution to the community in that way. Last fall, we had 12 people working for the Salvation Army on a seasonal basis. And then we have 5 people who work at World Lawn, and they work on a rotating basis. We're happy to report we've established a new community work site with a local church as well. We have one individual we support that works at the Beatrice Ford dealership on a part-time basis, and he's been there 4 years, and he's very proud of his work. I've been told by other employees he's one of the most consistent employees there, so it was a nice compliment to his job. He also delivers papers on a weekly basis as well. We happen to love your YMCA here. We have 10 people who enjoy memberships, and they attend the YMCA regularly. And Tammy is a very attractive young lady who is an aqua size, and she goes down there and exercises, and she swims beautifully. She has wheelchair needs, but when she gets into the water, she has the most enjoyable time. So she is also featured here in our annual report. This past year, we began providing supports to three gentlemen who are triplets. We have never served twins, let alone triplets, and it has been the most enjoyable experience. It was the first time they had ever received a paycheck. When they got into the bank to cash their paycheck, they could hardly wait to tell all the tellers all about their job at Region 5. So they were really happy with the supports and the different experiences they've had since they've entered our services. And then last but not least, I'd like to share with you that we completed the state recertification process in April of 2013, and we have been recertified for 2 years, which is the maximum any program can be certified in the state. So I tend to go through my reports quickly. I apologize if it's been too quickly. If there's anything you have questions about, let me know.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
The culverts?
Yeah.
Need a motion to place these reports on file, please.
So moved.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Second by Hill. Vote 7-0. Place these reports on file. All right, let's go back and call for a motion to award the culvert bid. What's the recommendation?
I make a motion to award a culvert bid. Maybe we could have Jeff come up and give us their recommendation.
Jeff Wagner, Manelli Wagner and Associates. I've gone through and reviewed the bids. All the numbers look correct on the bids. And our estimate for this was about $135,000. This is slightly under the estimate. So based on that, we would recommend awarding the bid to Midwest Service and Sales.
Was that the low bid then?
That was the low bid, right.
Okay.
For $128,429.56.
Yes.
By Juergens.
Second.
Second by Lytle. Any further discussion? Vote 7-0. Midwest Sales. All right. Next on the agenda is approve or disapprove supplemental utility relocation agreement.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Federal aid project BR32855. What's CN? Something number? Is that contract number?
Control number.
Control number. 12300. This is the Philly North project between Gage County, Nebraska and North Public Power District, increasing the contracted bid from $13,946.58 to $19,382.04, an increase of $5,435.46. And I need a motion to do that and approve and have you sign that agreement. And Terry talked about that.
I'd make a motion to approve. I'd like to have Deb come up and talk about this. It's something she's worked with.
Second.
Oh.
Second by Dorn.
Okay. With Norris on this project.
Deborah Brown, Gage County Highway Department. This is our federal aid bridge project for Philly North. So we're actually starting to relocate trees this month, which is a good start date for us. We thought it was going to be somewhere around May or June. This particular agreement is Norris had come in and given us a number to relocate the poles. The state had approved it, and federal side had approved it for state and federal funds, not our local funds, but theirs. Norris did come back because the contractor decided that we really do need the poles away from the bridge. We could not use a crane around the new bridge area. We could not use excavating equipment around it. So we've asked them to redesign to basically kind of make it look like a pie. We bring one pole out a little further into our right-of-way area. And so that one pole and the span of it brought the cost back up to an additional $5,435.46. This was again submitted to the state, and so state and federal funds have covered the additional expenses. This is not money out of the county bucket at all in this. So it's been approved. The state provided the agreement and the resolution, so we've submitted them. Norris has signed them, and we are ready to start clearing trees so they can relocate their line. So, any questions?
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Vote 7-0. Next would be approve or disapprove resolution. Got a number? 14-05 for utility services agreement BR1401, supplemental agreement to number 1. A motion to approve.
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah.
Next, approve or disapprove armor coating projects. C-34. 1004, 1005, 1006, 1007, 1008, 1009. It's like I'm counting to 10, wasn't it?
Yep. You did good. 4 to 9. You did good.
Yeah. Change order and supplemental agreement between Gage County, Nebraska, and Top Coating to compensate contractor for 28.5 additional armor coat miles and having me sign that, having the chairperson sign that.
Of the agreement.
We don't have the agreement? Okay, so we'll take no action on this today. We'll throw that on the next agenda in 2 weeks. And then that'll take care of the bid. Let's see. Next on the agenda is a motion to approve or disapprove our changing our committee process.
Did you miss the sign?
Did I miss one? What?
Sign project.
Well, would that be the project for this?
These were the signs
What's
that
the
we
project?
Took the quotes for that or bids for last time.
The sign
okay,
project.
Okay, let me go back and I'll call for a motion to approve or disapprove awarding a sign project bid.
I make a motion to approve the sign project bid in the amount of $38,788.84 to Newman Signs. This was the low bid that we took bids at last meeting. This is the low bid, quite a few $1,000s low under the next highest bid.
Moved by Juergens.
Second.
Second by Thorn. More discussion? We had to wait because Don's calculator wasn't very good. So
it wasn't. I got rid of it, too. He's sticking on that thing.
You guys keep on your toes.
Well, watch it. Make sure she doesn't get a slide.
That was for minor addition, not major.
Did you budget that, Don?
Yeah.
Did you budget that for the new calculator?
Yes.
Oh, you did. Okay.
For a really nice one, though.
Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Non-sticking keys.
Yeah, non-sticking keys.
Next is the approve or disapprove committee meeting process. And this was relevant to the discussion we had a couple weeks ago about modifying the process. In a motion to approve or disapprove?
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Setzer. Discussion. Just to reiterate, basically how that would work is we would meet on, I've still got my draft here. When we have our committee meetings on Monday, where we normally start at 7 o'clock upstairs, they would just take place down here. The format would be similar times, and I left it open. It would be basically a boilerplate agenda as the committees would come in. And, you know, as soon as Gary gets here and then we have the clerk here, we'll just open them up and say, you know, we'll go through the process of opening the meeting up. If we don't have a quorum, that's fine. If a quorum shows up, that's great, too. And we'll go ahead and we'll meet through the process because it's an open meeting and people can come and go as they please. And so we don't have to do any of this counting head type stuff. I will say that I would propose we do this for March and April. So we'll try it for 4 meetings. And the last meeting in April, like anything else, go back and reevaluate and see if it created any controversy, if it was just, you know, odd or, you know, just was a circus or whatever. I don't anticipate it will be. I've talked to Dawn about starting the meetings at 7. She said that's fine, that works for her. She'll just have to get here a little bit earlier. And so we can flex that. I talked to Myron about doing the claims, and again, I'm not proposing that we sit here and read all the claims in because that's part of the approval process that we do in the regular board meeting. But if there's a couple folks could sit there and start going through the claims and just reviewing those, There'll still be a need from time to time to go into closed session as it comes up to talk personnel, or there's law enforcement security issues or litigation. If that comes up in a committee, we still have the right to do that, and we will. The minutes will then be taken by the clerk's office, so your fabulous minutes that you won't have to do anymore. So we'll try it. I think it's worth, I guess I'm saying I think it's worth trying, seeing how it goes. The wheels fall off it and it becomes cumbersome, so be it.
So what you're saying is we're going to try this for four meetings and vote on it again, or what?
We'll bring it up for discussion obviously I'll probably get some feedback. If it comes up and say there's a group says, we need to probably revisit this, then we'll bring it up again and we'll discuss it. And then if we need to, we can go back and change our process. So.
I guess I have a few concerns myself. I'd be willing to try it. I agree. I'd be willing to try it with under the impression I would have that we would revisit this in four meetings, see how it went. I mean, we really don't know how this is going to work out.
Correct.
Is it better? Is it worse? I mean, rather than tie us into this type of a committee meeting right now, here's concerns that I do have that I wrote down here. Most people, and I'm one of them, will address a smaller committee, easier, a group of people, a smaller group than a larger group. The system we have now, I think, works well. I think it's worked well in the past. I think it works well now. I've talked to some past supervisor members and some other influential people that have connected with county government or have been, and most of them say, if it isn't broke, why fix it? So those are the few of the things that I've... one other thing that I see could happen, you could have one strong member that could conceivably control all the meetings. It's just a thought, something to think about. I know the city's done it, but that doesn't mean to me that we have to follow what the city do. It's a different type of government the city uses than we use. The city has a city administrator that takes care of, most of the business. We, as supervisors right now, have to do most of that legwork, or a lot of it anyway. Don does a lot of it for us, but a lot of the decisions have to be made. You have to figure it out, and decide. So those are some concerns I would have. I would hesitate to vote to change it, that we wouldn't have the option to say, this didn't work, I don't like it, That we wouldn't have the opportunity to come back in 4 weeks and say, revisit again.
We don't currently vote on our committee structure the way it is now. It's just one of those, the way it's always been.
Okay.
It's, the only reason I'm saying is, we'd vote today, let's give it a try. That's the only thing we're voting on now is to change. We're formally voting to try it, and then we'll come back, and I'll tell March 19th, just put it on the agenda.
March 19th or April?
April 16th. So that would be four meetings. Put it on the agenda to revisit our committee process.
So we will revisit it in 4 weeks.
Absolutely.
Give it a try. Okay.
Absolutely.
So will we vote on it to continue it this way or to go back? Or what's the situation? I mean, we're trying it for four meetings. Does that mean at the end of four meetings we're going back to where we were?
I think there's merit in voting on it, because if you've got four people that say we ain't doing it that way and three people that say we are, you got to have everybody agreeing that we're going to change this process for a period of time. And so that's all I'm asking for is, let's change our current process. Let's try it four times and see how it goes. And then we will revisit that the 16th and say, you know what, we don't like it. We don't want to go in that way, whatever the consensus is. So we've got to have consensus. Because right now, we don't vote on our committee process. And so I think this will give us a way to say, we're going to try this. And I've heard some of those things out there, but we meet upstairs. We're going to be in the same building. We're going to meet at the same time. We're just going to do it down here and say it's an open meeting. And so, really the big deal is you're going to have to start coming, or your deputy's going to have to start coming. So we're going to have minutes taken. We don't have to worry about a quorum. It's a non-issue anymore. But you're absolutely right. that there's some people that will not address the committee because they don't want to be on public record. Now,
well, no, it's a situation where we just have, supposedly we're here and we can leave and come and go and what have you, but we don't know what timing that is. So how do we go and we just don't know when to come back? Or we can be here for a meeting, but then if we have another meeting later, and that might be two meetings down the road. When do we come back? Where do we go? Where do we come? When do we come back? I mean, having this, you know, when we just go and not everybody just stay here, I don't know how you organize it to make it efficient. And I guess I'm like Terry. The people I've talked to, and I've gone out and tried to communicate with people that would have an interest and do business with this board right now, and they said, why do you want to? They said, we have communication now, all the communication we possibly need. And the news media comes to our meetings, and so they can report it. Many times I see a report on Road and Bridge in the Beatrice Daily Sun before we actually have our meeting here. I'm sorry, but I am for change when it's really positive, but I don't see anything positive about this at all. And I am personally opposed to it, and I really am very opposed to it. The people I've talked to tell me basically the same thing. Why are you doing it?
Well, I think as far as what time do you come back for the meeting, I think that already exists as somebody who is paced outside of the door waiting to be able to go in, because there's already four people in there, and, you know, I wait and wait and wait. You know, I think that, you know, as far as the timing of the meetings, that situation already exists. You know an estimated time about how long it'll take, and Road and Bridge always goes way longer than is scheduled. And as far as, you know, maybe it's not broken, but I think it'll definitely improve communication. Right now, like you just said, Denny, we read stuff in the newspaper that happened at Road and Bridge before we get to our committee meeting and are updated on it. This way, we will have the option of sitting there listening to the meeting and, you know, if we have a concern or something, voicing it at the time before it actually gets to the board meeting. I think this is a positive move and worth trying. And again, you know, there's nothing that we do here that can't be reversed if we find that there's no benefit or it causes a hardship or just isn't working.
We can put times. I mean, the agenda is, we can put times on there. If you
think John had some comment.
Yeah, I think we're changing something that's working very well right now. And, you know, I don't really see the point in changing. And also, you know, despite the fact that some have called it a closed meeting, it's been operated as an open meeting. And, you know, it certainly has been an open meeting all the times I've been up there, every 2 weeks.
Yeah, so we can put time stuff on the agenda, you know, because we have those on our current agenda, the ones that we used to have. We'd put them at the end when the committee meetings were going to be. We can put those as timed events.
Yeah, I would suggest that we just set it up with the same time frame that we have now. I mean, like Kathy said, we have the same times every week, and no reason you wouldn't be able to do the same thing. I mean, it's not going to change the way the meetings flow through. It just changes the fact that it becomes open to us as supervisors. Yeah, it's been open to the public, but it hasn't been open to us because there's only four of us that can be there, and soon it'll only be three of us.
Well,
no, at this point, if we do this, it'll make it open to us, so we're all able to be there. And you know, the thing is, and you guys over there are all on the Road and Bridge. Road and Bridge is how much of our business, and we're not able to be there. And you know, I you guys do an excellent job of getting the information to us, but still, I mean, we're not able to be that committee meeting. And you know, if we had an option to open this up so we can all be there, not guaranteeing that we'll all be there every time, but if we can, I mean, I think that's a great move to make. That. That's all I got.
I'll agree with Gary on one thing, that it would open it up for the rest of the board members to attend. And there's been several times, as Terry mentioned, that we've decided, or we worked on something at the committee, and then the rest of the board members find out about it before we get to our board meeting even or whatever, which is one of the problems with the way we do the committees now. But I like the idea that it would open it up to what Gary said. The only people that are closed out of it are some of our board members. It would open it up to everybody. But I will make this comment. I visited with Matt earlier. I can support this if we do this for four meetings and that we aren't tied in to this continuing on. I want the conversation, but I almost want to vote again that, to me, I can support this if we do this for four meetings, we're doing it for a trial, and then we go back to the other way for a couple weeks or whatever even. I mean, I like it, that meeting that we have that conversation, but I can't support this if this is going to permanently change to this. I'll just say that because I don't mind trying it. I see some things that we're going to have to work out, for instance, the claims. I sure don't expect everybody to stay here for that. That takes normally half an hour, 45 minutes. But now, I guess, and that this is something we haven't visited about, is Don or whoever's going to be here, are they going to be here through all of the claim process, I guess, since we're doing it this way? That I don't know. You know, up there, not to pick on Scott, but Scott and Chris always even leave during it because it's kind of boring, you know, or whatever and stuff. So it's just looking at the claims, and we usually pick on Gus and look at some of those claims really close. No. But we do. We look at all the claims, and we try and verify if they're good or if we need to have them sent back or whatever.
Well, and we can't. Matt, you just said, well, a couple of us could go over here and go through the claims off in the corner. We can't do that.
No. No,
we have to have conversation discussion on those claims. Yeah. And when we have questions, and we have to call the department in to have a question and answer the questions relative to that. So we can't just approve it and let it go.
My comment to Matt was that we do the claims at the end. However long it takes for our meeting, no matter when, we just do the claims at the end, kind of like we do now or whatever and stuff. That's basically the last thing we're doing up there. And that way, the problem is we don't know an exact time when that's going to happen, Denny. You know, we don't know whether it's going to be at 10, 10:30, or 11, because I'd like to make this comment, too. I talked with Terry about this. Friday, our meetings, we start at 7 o'clock. Law enforcement, because Gus and Mark weren't there, it didn't quite take an hour. We've been running that probably hour and 15 minutes a lot of times. Then we do road and bridge. That generally lasts at least an hour and a half or pretty close to it. So we're 2.5 hours in the meeting. Now if we have buildings and grounds, you know, we're another half an hour there. If not, we have finance, and finance usually takes another hour. So we're looking at 3.5 hours that we're keeping somebody from the clerk's office here. And those are things that we don't know how they're going to flow until after you do it for 4 weeks, and you'll have a better idea and a better understanding of that. I mean, that's something that we can guess today here. I did visit with Alan Langdale at the city just because he's on the Engage board, and we were talking about other things, and I said, how do they do it? They meet one Monday a month, the fourth Monday, yeah, for their, they call it their workshop or whatever. They don't call it committee meetings because they don't have so-called committee meetings.
So this is a meeting where we'll make decisions, correct?
No. We will not make decisions.
It's a separate meeting, and then this is just one meeting like committee of a whole, and then we have another board meeting where whatever needs to have action comes back.
But Denny, it's not changing it a whole lot from where it is now, except we'll have the opportunity for all seven people to be in the room at the same time. And that's what I see as the positive for trying it. All seven of us, because I don't know how many times you come up there and we've done road and bridge and you get to visit with whoever's out in the hallway while we're competing to see if we're or completing our committee meetings or whatever. I see some positive to it. I do see some things that we will have issues different than what the city will or whatever. I mean, we'll, like I said, it's the employees here most of the time except from 7 to 8. So, I mean, it's not an extra cost per se, but I do see other issues that we're not going to be aware of now, or I know Matt's visited about that some of these things just may not work. We may find out in four meetings this just don't work or whatever. But
and I would say the committee meetings are lasted more than 3.5 hours. I mean, very seldom are we out of there before 11 o'clock, and
you know, oftentimes it pushes 12 or after 12.
Well, Friday, for instance, we started at 7. I left at a quarter till 12 because I had another commitment. We weren't done yet. So that's just, that don't always happen that long, but I don't, we start everything at 7 all the time, and we're never probably done before 10. Generally, it's 10:30, and quite a few of the meetings have gone into 11, and one time it was 12:30, so that's 5.5 hours if we'd be here or whatever.
I agree with some of the negative things that could impact it, and you know, the one with having one strong member being able to, it's a possibility. Yeah, it is. And I think four meetings and then vote again on it, I think that's a wise thing to do. I mean, you either reaffirm it or you say, file 13.
You got one strong member taking up all the time, everybody else get up and leave.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's...
You're not taking action on anything.
Exactly. Yeah, the one thing that keeps coming up though is the claims, and I don't think that there doesn't need to be a reconstruction of the process here. When finance comes on, you just perform the finance duties just like we've always done. We go through the claims and go through, and you just do finance just like we've always done, and it's no big deal. Go through the claims. It's good for everybody to hear the claims too. I mean, I haven't been on finance committee now for a year and a half, and that was one of the things that I looked forward to when I did finance committee, was actually going through the claims, because that's when you see different things that are done in the county, where some of the expenses are, what we're spending money on. I think it's a good thing. So, I mean, I don't see any reason to change it. Just when finance comes in, you roll through the finance committee procedures and you do what you got to do.
I don't think that we're reinventing the wheel here. I think we're modifying it a little bit, and if it doesn't work, we can go back to the way it was. And yet the meetings are open now to everybody except for the board members. And I think that this could be a real positive thing, and I'm the first person who does not like change for the sake of change. But I think this could be a real positive move. And if it's not, we go back to the way it is now, which is not that different from what's being proposed.
So we have a motion to try it. And it would just be for four meetings. We'll revisit that April. We'll have the discussion April 16th. If there's a majority of people that are absolutely against it right now, vote no, and then we'll just keep doing what we're doing. But we had a good discussion. I think from time to time, it's good to have those discussions and look at how you're performing your duties. You know, if there's four people in the room, we're going to find out here pretty quick and don't want to do it, that's fine, and we'll keep doing what we're doing. I'm just saying there's some inherent issues with the way I think that, you know, we could potentially improve a process.
But I don't want to be negative to not try something.
Pass or approve and disapprove for the 16th.
Approve or disapprove, continue the process.
Okay.
Something. And then we'll work on that.
Right.
But there'll be an action item on there.
There'll be an action
item. How is this motion going to read?
In April?
No, this motion.
Well, we've got a motion right now for Juergens to approve changing the committee process. And
Lytle and Setzer.
I'm sorry. From Lytle and Setzer. Lytle and Setzer. Yeah. And then in the discussion, I'm saying I'm going to put another action item on there to revisit it on the...
No, I want it in the motion.
Okay, well then.
I don't think we can approve or disapprove with and say we're going to do this try thing for three or four meetings without having it in the motion.
Okay. I'll take back my second and modify.
Or can we make an amendment to it?
In the motion.
I mean, if you want to amend it, I guess throw the amendment out there and I'll okay it. But I don't see any reason. I mean, I don't really see a reason to do it, because I trust everybody in this room that in 4 weeks we're going to revisit it. It's up to us seven.
Good business. It's good business. Okay. If this is what people have said, they're making a decision on whether they're going to vote to move forward because they're going to try it.
Yep.
And so it needs to be part of the motion as far as I'm concerned, because being negative toward the change but also saying, okay, let's give it a try, is another thing. And so I want to make sure it's part of the motion.
I'll just rescind my motion, and why don't you just go ahead and create
a
new motion.
Are you rescinding your second then?
And you rescind my second.
Okay, motion rescinded.
I'll make a motion that we do a 4-week trial, and on April 16th we vote whether or not to continue it, and that we have a vote, whether or not to discussion and a vote, whether or not to continue this format or go back to our former format.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any more discussion? Have a motion and a second. Vote 7-0. All right. And I'll get that agenda out, and I'll talk to the chair people of the committees, and we'll get times. If you want times on the agenda, if that works, we can do that. It's just a draft. So, all right. Where is my agenda?
So do we want to wait on
that? No, because there's nothing in there about committees, because we're still in. Need a motion to approve or disapprove the Gage County Board of Supervisors standing rules for 2014. Again, I've had no feedback request for any changes. I just need a motion to approve or disapprove.
Do we need to
basically be the same as they were?
Do we need to tweak it for this, what we just did? Or I don't know. I'm just asking.
I only saw one item, Rule 28, that might have a problem. But if it pops up, you can amend your standing rules, too.
Okay.
So, again, you maintain control. So if you need to tweak it, and again, I think as you go, you know, look at this other thing, there's going to be items like the timing thing. Are you going to say we're going to give you approximately an hour, approximately an hour, approximately? I don't know. You're going to have to work that out. I think you can go ahead and approve these. And again, if this becomes something more than four meetings, then we'll have to look at them a little tighter.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, seconded by Setzer. Any further discussion? Vote. Vote to approve. I think that's everything left on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody here wants to make public comments. Sometimes I kind of scratch around on this, make sure I touched everything.
Yeah, you got it.
Alan usually yells at me if I miss something. All right, I guess next will be a closed session. I need a motion to go into closed session. To discuss litigation necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
So I move.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn.
It's fine.
10-21.
I like what we're doing. I like the way we do it. And I don't agree with all the things.
Okay, go.
11:03, I move we come out of closed session.
Moved by Lytle, seconded by Dorn. Any further discussion? Vote 7-0. Anything else? See y'all in 2 weeks. Meeting adjourned 11:04.
He's trying to save your voice.
In 2 weeks.